Pastor Ray Bentley introduces the Shema. The Shema, meaning listen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the cornerstone of all of Judaism. This is what is prayed daily by every Jewish person around the world, or is supposed to. It's called the Shema of Israel. Shema, hear, listen.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. In certain group postings on Facebook, you can pin a post so it always appears at the top. Well, if social media had existed during Old Testament times, what we'll read today would surely have been a pinned post. Pastor Ray shows us the location and the context of the Shema of Israel.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3. This morning's message, the gateway to heaven, we're going to kind of overview a few highlights from Deuteronomy chapters 3 through 7. And, I've been dropping kind of the life lessons as we go along, so we're going to start with the first one that you can fill out. We've got five this morning. We're going to go through them quickly. Number one, to pray, thy kingdom come, is the desire to see heaven on earth. And we're going to find Moses praying because he wanted to see the kingdom come in the promised land. So verse 23, he's talking to the 2.1 million Israelis there. And Moses says, then I pleaded with the Lord of that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak to me no more of this matter. Get up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. And so we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. So we begin by seeing Moses sharing the desire which burned in his heart. He wanted to just go into the promised land for one day. He just wanted to put his feet into the promised land. I mean, this has been his whole life, this whole dream, from the burning bush, through the miracles and the plagues of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and now all the way to the edge of the wilderness. He's that close. He goes, Lord, can I go in and see it? And God says, no, I've told you you can't go in. Don't even bring it up to me anymore, Moses, but climb up on this mountain and I'll let you look. You can look in and see it. But just as Moses longed, the reason he wanted to go into the promised land, he wanted to see where the kingdom of Israel would be established. Why? Because when the kingdom was established, especially under King David, it prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. And now, even in heaven, here's interesting. So Moses, he wanted to go into the promised land. Guess what? Jesus in heaven yearns for something. He's already resurrected, he's glorified, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he yearns to move from where he is. Where does Jesus yearn to be? Back down here on earth. And when Jesus comes to, and that's his heart's desire, when he comes to the earth, he will be bringing all heaven with him. Amen? It's going to be awesome. So we too need to pray. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. We want the kingdom to come because when we pray for the kingdom, heaven will come with it. Now let's go to the next life lesson. Those who cling to the Lord will experience kingdom living now. Much of what we've been taught and trained as Christians is that, okay, you got to believe, you know, in the gospel, you got to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then when you die, you get to go to heaven and have their eternal life. But the reality is something even better than that. When you accept Jesus Christ, there is something more than just you're going to heaven and there to experience eternal life. Literally, heaven, or a portion of heaven itself, comes and is deposited inside us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the earnest or the down payment of everything that we shall receive then. So we already have eternal life now. We can begin experiencing and breathing, as it were, the very atmosphere of heaven in a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. So look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Moses writes, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Does that verse sound familiar to anybody who's ever read the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, says, don't add to the words of this revelation and don't take away from it. Did you know that's not the first time in the Bible that occurs? It actually begins in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2. Then in verse 3, he says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor." A judgment had broken out, and many people had died who worshipped the idol, read behind that demonic spirit, of Baal of Peor. But in verse 4, "But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." When you cling to the Lord, it's not just that you will live, but you are alive today. Kingdom living is for now. Now, the word that is used here in verse 4 for hold fast in the Hebrew is the word davak. It means to cling to or to catch by pursuit. The first time it is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it's talking about clinging husband to wife and wife to husband. So read with me Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's read this out loud. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's the same word that is used of how we're to cling to the Lord, running with the Lord, pursuing the Lord, holding on to the Lord, that we are saved alive and even experience life now. Okay, let's go on to the next life lesson, because we're going to flow into this, the great command, the greatest command given in Scripture. We are commanded to love God. Why? Because He is our Creator. He made you, and therefore He is the source of everything that you are. Now, all of us are made in the image and after the likeness of God. Physiologically, you know, that we have our minds, we have our heart, we have our emotions, our will, we can make choices, we're intelligent beings, we know how to communicate, we create languages and music, we're social creatures, but we also have a spiritual element that cannot be satisfied with anything else because we're made in the image of God and made to know Him. And then on top of all of that, you have like your fingerprint. You have a unique personhood, personality, blend of the gifts of God and the personality of God and a heavenly divine assignment that not one of the other 7 or 8 billion people on the planet can fulfill. None of them are qualified enough to fulfill what only you uniquely can do. And God made you because He wants, you are a facet, as it were, in the diamond as He reflects His light and glory and power and majesty and beauty and artistry. You are a facet that is irreplaceable. No one can do what you do. And you are special and you are unique and you are amazing. And so we're to honor our Creator, the source of all these things. So in chapter 6, verse 4, so go with me to chapter 6. In verse 4, here's what he says. It's called the Shema of Israel, because the first word in our English translated here is in Hebrew, Shema. Shema, hear, listen, God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the cornerstone of all of Judaism. This is what is prayed daily by every Jewish person around the world, or is supposed to. And it is called the Shema, because that's the first Hebrew word that means hear. Shema, Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What's interesting is where it says Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God, Eloheinu, the root word is Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. Elohim is God. It's the Hebrew word for God, but it's plural. The I am at the end makes it plural. So if you wanted to translate it literally from Hebrew into English, it should say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our gods, but you can't translate it that way. Because the whole point of the verse is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad, meaning one, absolutely, purely, only in essence. So wait a second. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, but it's plural, but he who is plural is one. One in essence. How do you describe that and define that? Well, we can't, and it is a great mystery. Now, the church came up with a word for it, and it's called the Trinity. You've probably heard of the Trinity. But the word Trinity is actually not found in the Bible. Why do we call it the Trinity? Well, it's our way of trying to explain or at least understand the revelation, and here's what's revealed in the Bible, that only God could reveal himself to us. There is God, who is the Father, who is the creator of all things, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he made us as his children. But guess what? And therefore, we come to him and we ask forgiveness for sins against God, and he forgives us. Then we come to the revelation of the Son, Jesus. And we find out the Son is eternal. He is from ages past to ages in the future. We find out that Jesus is also described in the Bible as the Creator. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Jesus, if somebody had sinned against God, and Jesus would say, I forgive you. That's why they were going, wait a second, that was a sin against God. How can you say, I forgive you? That was the whole point, is that Jesus did. All of the attributes that are given to God the Father are given to Jesus as God the Son. He's not half man and half God, but he is this incredible revelational mystery of fully God and fully man. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, plural, the Lord is one. Now, all of the attributes given to the Father and all of the attributes of the Godhead given to the Son are also given to the Spirit, that he has eternally existed. He was there as part of the creation of the universe. And therefore, it's this mystery. Call it what you will, but it is a revelation. And this is called the Great Shema of Israel. Then we go to verse 5. He then says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. And that is quoted by Jesus. I gave you the reference. It's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. They came to him and said, Rabbi, what is the most important commandment in the Bible? And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. And then he said, and the second is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There he was quoting Leviticus, I think chapter 19, verse 18. So he put a verse from Deuteronomy and a verse from Leviticus, because I don't know if you knew this, but he's kind of summarizing the Ten Commandments. But beyond the Ten Commandments, did you know if you counted each individual commandment in the first five books of the Old Testament, there actually are 613 commandments. How many of you have got those all memorized and you know them all and never violate them? 613. So then the Ten Commandments are silos in which the 613 fall under one of those 10. So when Jesus said that if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill the 10, which therefore means you fulfill all 613. Love fulfills all the commandments of God. That's why we are told to love God. We are commanded to love God because genuine love for God leads us to fulfill all the commandments. So I love how all of these things, I mean, this is very deep, very powerful, and very profound. So now, let's go on to chapter 6, and let's go on to the next life lesson quickly. The Holy Spirit is responsible for writing the commandments of God upon our hearts. Okay, so chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now, God gave them the Ten Commandments. They were written on stone, and Moses carried them, and yet the people fell. They weren't able to transpose off the stone and get into people's hearts. Therefore, Jeremiah, the prophet, gave a prophecy from the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, and he said, guess what? God's going to do a whole new covenant. Now, the same holiness and the same righteousness that's in the Ten Commandments. But this time, instead of writing his will, his word, his nature on stone, in the new covenant, God will write his will, his nature, and his character literally into the hearts, the human fleshly hearts. So it writes the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, but in that writing, it also writes the desire to do the will of our Father. And not only does the Spirit write the will to do the heart of our Father, it gives us the power to obey, to fulfill, to satisfy, and to please our Father. Everything is found in the new covenant where God writes it upon our hearts. So that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and that he is the one that writes it in. So the closer that you walk with the Holy Spirit all the way from your belly, the more that the Holy Spirit will transform you from the inside out. It's not like, oh, I'm supposed to do this, but I don't really want to. It's like, no, I want to. And not only now do I want to, I have the desire. And not only the desire, I have the strength. And now I have the freedom. And all of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit begins to be poured through your life. So let's read the scripture in your notes there from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read it out loud. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So that's the new covenant. The Holy Spirit is writing the will of God, the character of our Father, the nature of the Lord and of his Spirit, and empowering us to live it as well. Now, we come to the last of our points. The Word of God should always mark our home. Okay, so look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. It says, so you shall teach them, he's talking about the commands, the word of God, diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. How often does he want us talking about his word? All the time. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, if we were reading this in Hebrew, where it says you shall write them on the doorposts, the word doorpost in Hebrew is mezuzah. And so this is what is a mezuzah? What is that little box that is up there? That little box contains a scroll, a little parchment of the scriptures. And guess what portion of scripture is written on a little piece of paper inside of that mezuzah on the doorpost? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Teach them sitting, standing, walking. Put it on the doorposts. That's the scripture that is written in the mezuzah at the door. And every Jewish person, the practice and Jewish custom is to kiss the mezuzah with your lips to your fingers before entering your home. You are remembering, thank you, Lord, my home is marked by the word and the will of my Father in heaven. And they do that every time they leave and every time they go. Now, Jesus referred to the temple in Jerusalem as his Father's house. And in many ways, Jerusalem and the temple are the gateways to heaven. So think of this. Jesus is the living mezuzah upon the gateway to heaven. Just as the mezuzah contains the word of God, so Jesus is the living word of God. Just as the mezuzah is nailed to the doorpost, so Jesus was nailed outside the gates of Jerusalem. And just as one must touch or kiss the mezuzah to enter into the house, so we must kiss the Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, before being admitted into the gates of heaven. Hallelujah. He is the living doorkeeper. So this is the last scripture I want to give you, coming in Jesus and being the doorpost and the gateway to heaven. From Psalm 118, let's read it together. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now this is, you know, you're the gate, you're the way for righteous, the righteous enter through you, and you're my salvation. Do you know what that word salvation right there is in the Hebrew Bible? Yeshua. You have become my Yeshua. You have become my Jesus, because the name of Jesus means salvation. He himself is our salvation. Amen.
Great insights today from our studies based in Deuteronomy with Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Gateway to Heaven. And we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title, The Gateway to Heaven. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.